The Palestine Report with Hafez Ibrahim Musa.
Abu Sab, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
An eventful Sunday night in Gaza?
Yes, we obviously had an incident last night where an Israeli special forces group infiltrated into the Gaza Strip. According to the Israeli sources, they were there for some sort of intelligence gathering mission. Palestinians suggesting it could be something else. As they were exposed, a firefight ensued, and Palestinians managed to, well, the Israelis tried to capture a senior Hamas resistance leader, Nur Barakat, but instead of, they were not successful in that, so they happened to assassinate him. The Palestinian resistance thereafter pursued the Israelis, and that's when Israeli firepower or Israeli air power came into effect, heavily attacking that area, killing about six of the resistance as a means of giving the Israeli forces, special forces, cover to be able to exit. And one of the Israeli special forces were killed in that particular operation. Details are still murky. There's a lot that perhaps is censored by the Israeli official censor, but what we know at this stage is that there was intense exchanges thereafter, Hamas and the resistance firing rockets into Israel. Netanyahu was out in Paris cutting his visit short, coming back to the region, and we also have a special meeting of the Israeli defense brass in his absence. So uncertain situation, not sure if this was pre-planned or it was an operation from the Israeli side that didn't go according to what they had wished.
But just days before this, it seemed as if a deal was in the works to loosen the siege in Gaza.
Yes, there's actually quite a few interesting details regarding this. So according to a report that was published by a newspaper in Lebanon, there was this three-year deal that would be brokered by Egypt, which would see a lessening or a loosening of the siege on Gaza. What would be required, it would ask Hamas to stop the march of return and cease flotillas from Gaza. Hamas would be required to punish Gazans who participate in the demonstrations from the Egyptian side. They will permanently open the Rafah border crossing, lift 70% of the siege or 70% of the blockade that it has on Gaza. From the Israeli side, they would have to grant work permits to Gazans, about 5,000. They would have to expand the fishing zone. The Palestinian Authority should allow the payment of salaries from the West Bank into the Gaza Strip. And there would be economic incentives, the creation of jobs, and this entire process would be supervised by the United Nations as well as Russia. And there were signs that this deal, whether it wasn't confirmed by anybody, but there were signs that it was afoot, because the last Friday's protests were slightly smaller. There were some pictures circulating that Hamas policemen were trying to avoid people coming too close to the fence that separates Gaza from Israel or occupied Palestine in 1948. And then in the week around Thursday, we had, this was quite a sight to behold, if just one has to see the pictures, suitcases, the Qatari envoy to the region, Mohammed Al-Imadi, coming in from the Israeli Eretz crossing into Gaza, with in his car, three suitcases, just normal suitcases, filled with $15 million in cash. So he came with this money into the Gaza Strip, and it was part of $90 million that he was going to bring into the Gaza Strip in 6 monthly installments. And this was meant to pay the salaries of civil society workers in civil workers in Gaza, that entered into the Gaza Strip, and thereafter we saw long lines of workers lining up to get their salaries. Qatar also pledging money to families as well as the wounded, families of poor families in the Gaza Strip as well as the wounded. And we know before that Qatar was also pledging to alleviate the power crisis on the Gaza Strip. And quite interestingly, we saw Netanyahu saying that this was the right move. He was actually quite exuberant about it, saying that he welcomes the move of bringing this Qatari money into the Gaza Strip, and he defended it, saying that it would bring calm to Israeli communities and prevent the humanitarian crisis. And just on Saturday, we had Netanyahu also saying that he wants to avoid unnecessary wars. He didn't rule out war, but he said he wants to avoid unnecessary war, and he didn't see this as the time for a war. But at the same time, he said that there would be no diplomatic solution for Gaza, just as there is no diplomatic solution for confronting ISIS. So all of that happening, everybody seems to be quite supportive of some sort of deal for the Gaza Strip. But then, incidentally, there's one party that doesn't seem to want a deal in the Gaza Strip and actually wants an escalation. And quite ironically, it is a Palestinian party, which is Mahmoud Abbas, who seems to want a flare-up. When this money entered into the Gaza Strip, he labeled the Qatari envoy a gangster and a smuggler, and almost as if he was an Israeli prime minister, Mahmoud Abbas saying over the weekend at a commemoration for the death of Yasser Arafat, saying that we are going to take tough measures against Hamas in the coming days.
3 million Palestinians banned from Hajj and Umrah?
Yeah, it's not, in that sense, it wouldn't have been a direct ban, but an effective ban because of a new Saudi policy. This is a process that had started around the 12th of September when the Saudis have announced that Palestinian refugees in Jordan, Lebanon, and East Jerusalem, they don't have any Palestinian passports, so they hold temporary Jordanian travel documents or Lebanese travel documents. These are just documents that are issued for them for the purpose of them being able to travel in the absence of a formal passport. So the Saudis said that they would not grant visas to any of these people who have temporary Lebanese or Jordanian travel documents. And just recently we had another announcement saying that the 1.5 million Palestinians, citizens of Israel, those who hold Israeli passports, they too will not be able to travel because the Saudis do not recognize an Israeli passport. These people have been traveling over the years with temporary Jordanian passports, and the Saudis saying that they too will not be able to get visas with these documents. Now, effectively, that brings 1.5 million Palestinians in Israel, as well as all these refugees. It tallies up to a number of about 3 million Palestinians. There's been various suspicions regarding this, and some have said that this is a part of an agreement between Saudi Arabia and Israel to put an end to the Palestinian identity and the right of refugees, and it's also part of the so-called Trump's deal of the century, part of his moves regarding liquidating the Palestinian cause, with UNRWA, etc. And this all seems to tie up, although not officially. Now, there hasn't been some major outcry, perhaps because the season of Hajj has passed, but it will perhaps all come to a head if there's no resolution of this particular case prior to Hajj. But at the moment, it's already posing difficulties for whoever within the refugee community or the Palestinian community in Israel who seek to go for Umrah.
And then finally, new developments at Aqsa.
Yes, just three quick developments. Last week, there was a major road accident in Palestine and caused a lot of mourning for Palestinians in Jerusalem. The funerals of all the deceased, six of them, took place at Masjid al-Aqsa, and the masjid was really teeming with Palestinians who came for that funeral. But one particular Palestinian by the name of Alaa Qiraish, the Palestinians actually prevented his body from entering Masjid al-Aqsa for the janazah. And this shows how serious the tensions are about allegations of selling property in Jerusalem to Jewish settlers. It is alleged that about 10 years ago, he sold a home in the Muslim quarter of Jerusalem to Jewish settlers. And on account of this, his tensions boiled over in his death, and he was not allowed, or his janazah was not allowed to enter Masjid al-Aqsa. That's one development. Another one is in the area of Masjid al-Aqsa, the eastern area called Bab al-Rahma, or the Gate of Mercy. Inside the masjid, the sidewalk, this is the area where Jewish settlers tend to congregate during their break-ins into Masjid al-Aqsa. The sidewalk has been sinking. It has receded several centimeters. Some are saying that sinkholes were actually appearing in this particular area of Masjid al-Aqsa, raising alarm. And because of that, we had the Waqf at Masjid al-Aqsa in this week doing extensive work, coming in with heavy machinery to try and correct that situation and investigate what went wrong. And finally, we have the Jerusalem police chief saying that Israeli members of parliament can or should increase their visits to Masjid al-Aqsa. A quick one on this is that first the Israeli prime minister told them they could not go for 3 years. Israeli members of the Knesset or the parliament could not go to Masjid al-Aqsa. Then he lessened those that ruling, said that they could visit once every 3 months. And now it seems as if they are visiting once a month, although it's not an official policy, but it already shows the steady decline of those restrictions and once again increasing their potential to stoke provocations at Masjid al-Aqsa.
As always, Jazakumullah. We'll talk again next week, inshallah.
Barakallahu fiqh. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.